Kevin Smith, and you're listening to Radio Brendo Man, the only radio that matters with the name Brendo Man in it. If you're not listening to it, just what in God's name are you listening to? I can give you some options, but that would defeat the purpose of the plug. Brendo Man.
Welcome to another episode of Radio Brendo Man. I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Back from vacation.
Yes, just barely.
Epic vacation? Was it good?
It was fantastic, yes. We were gone for, well, we went for 10 nights, or no, 9 nights.
Wow.
To Arizona, and then we came back, and then we went again and stayed in a hotel near Disneyland, and did a little Disneyland trip, too. So.
Are you tired of Arizona?
That yeah.
Seems like too much
good.
Arizona.
Good time. We went to like the high mountain area.
Okay.
No. Okay. Here's the thing though. And I don't know if you saw some of our pictures on Facebook, but we went to like the high mountains in Arizona. Like even after I'd told my family, you know, Janelle was like a little skeptical. Like she thought we're just going to the desert, but we were up in like mountains, lakes, yeah. Rivers. Like it's really, really different than you think of Arizona. It was really,
well, I know what I mean, it is. It's just, that's a lot,
but it's a different part.
That's a lot of time to be in any one place. I don't know.
Well, we stayed in 4 different cities. Like we'd stay for a couple nights in each place and then do the stuff around there.
You did do a lot of cool stuff. I saw all the videos and everything. Janelle was
the rock water slide park. Yeah. That place is cool. Like all these natural water slides, like in this river, and you could slide down them.
The water was really cold though.
It was so cold.
In any of those like mountain fresh water situations, the water is usually freezing.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
most of that, that's like snow melt. That's like snow melt, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just melting off the snow. So, and it's funny because when we got there, like only kids were doing it. And there was like all these, I mean, probably a couple hundred adults standing around like taking pictures of their kids, but no one else was doing it. So Janelle went first. And then I went second, and we were like the first adults. And my parents went down it, and then after that, a bunch of other adults started doing it. But that's had to like set the standard.
There's a place with slides like that. I don't know if it's near, because I remember when I was in Boy Scouts, we went. I don't know if it's in like Cuyamaca area or if it's near Big. I'm trying to remember where we were, but there was a place like that. It wasn't as crazy as those slides, but there was like streams and creeks where you could slide into like pools and stuff.
Oh yeah,
where it was.
There's others around. This one just happens to be. It's called Slide Rock State Park. Like they kind of feature that, you know.
Oh, Mario wanted to know: did you remember to turn off the water this time before you left?
I did. I came back. There were no major utilities left on. In fact, it's funny. Like I went overboard and I unplugged everything in the house, so nothing was draining electricity. Including our internet, and we started getting emails from our internet provider saying, it looks like your internet's not working. Do you need assistance? Blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, yes, I overcompensated. What's that?
Why'd you unplug the internet?
I unplugged everything that has a plug in.
Were you worried about an internet leak?
No, I was worried about electricity. I was like paranoid after that. I did not want to have something left on and come back and have like a $5,000 electricity bill because of something. So, I just unplugged everything. Nothing was left.
Oh, my gosh. So remember when I was living in my friend's giant house in Carlsbad?
Uh-huh.
Like crazy giant house that you and Matt came and visited?
It had the laundry chutes and all that?
Yeah, and it had like a wall plug-ins for like the vacuum system and all this crazy stuff. I was like the worst like house sitter ever because it wasn't my fault, though, in my defense.
Okay.
That just reminded me of this time. So shortly after you guys came over, because they were out of town, I think that same week, my brother found out that I had this house to myself, and that's bad news. Especially a high school Eric Carson, who just had no like care or remorse for any other person, and was a wild... And so him and some of our other friends they like kind of came over and just started hanging out there and staying over there. And unknown to me, because we were, there's like, there, that place had like 6 bedrooms. Like, it was huge. And so,
yeah,
they were,
oh, yeah.
So, and like, yeah. So there were, people were all over the house, and it was like a big house. It was 3 stories. And so somebody had turned on the heat in one of the rooms, and it was just on for like a week. and like, we live in, this is a San Diego area. Like, there's no need to have the heat on hardly ever.
Yeah.
And so, and it's, and like that giant house, like, it's expensive. So when they, when the family got home and they, and the dad saw, I just hear this dad starts yelling, my friend's dad, and I'm like, oh crap, what did I do? And I thought he was mad because we ate a bunch of the food, but it wasn't even that. It was like we had left the heat on, and it turned out being like, it was like thousands of dollars. It was bad.
Yeah, I can testify that is a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's why I overcompensated this time.
But I didn't even, but I guess I, it's partly I'm responsible if I have people over, but it was my brother and his stupid friend. They also borrowed their video camera. Like, basically, they didn't tell me. My brother, without telling me, took the video, their video camera, and then is like, oh, by the way, like, from the road, he's like, oh, like, he left because they were going up to San Francisco. He's like, by the way, I have your friend's video camera. I'm sure it's cool. Just tell him that I'll bring it back. And I'm like, no, that is not cool. And, but that nobody, like, he didn't get, I mean, he gave it back once he got back, but he didn't turn. I'm like, no, you turn around right now and you bring it. And he wouldn't. And I couldn't get, my mom wouldn't. She's like, oh, it's okay. I'm like, no, that was like the most I ever felt like, you know, like Larry David and like yeah. I am right. Everybody else. And like, it was so frustrating. It was the most frustrating thing ever. It drove me crazy.
Okay, so
my brothers,
I can't remember. Were you around when I had the out of control house party incident, or was that like before you got there?
You had an out of control house party incident?
I think this might have been the summer before you came, like right before I met you.
Okay.
My aunt and uncle left me to house sit for them at their house. It was my first summer after college.
Uh-huh.
And they had me watch it for like, I was there for like 3 weeks or something while they were gone. And, you know, just basic house sitting. They had a dog and I had to feed the dog and all that kind of stuff. And they had told me I could invite some people over. You know, they were fine with that.
Famous last words of anybody leaving for vacation.
I know. I mean, it's the closest that I ever have or will ever get to having one of those like horrible out of control parties. I wound up, you know, invited some guys from my floor and they wound up inviting a few other guys. And so instead of having 3 or 4 guys show up at the door, something like 15 or 16. I mean, we're not talking like massive.
Yeah, but this is like 15 like college students. Like,
yeah. So, and they had a pool, of course. I mean, like the jacuzzi and all that. So, I mean, they kept it pretty cool, but I was like panicking the whole time because, you know, they weren't like wild out of control, but there was 15 people in the backyard. They have neighbors
and geeks like you're grabbing things and trying to hide them. And
it was exactly that. And again, like no one was out of control, but 15 people anywhere is a lot of people.
Something can get broken. Things can happen.
You know, there was like a lot of, they all used towels for the pool, so I had like extra laundry to do. And the worst part, and you know, nobody broke anything, fortunately, but that my, you know, I kind of cleaned up a little bit and then went to bed, and my aunt and uncle came home like a couple days early.
Oh no.
And so I'm like,
that actually happened
on the couch. No, I swear to you. I couldn't remember if you were there. Matt Moss was there.
I never understood that. Like, why would people come? That never happens where people come home early.
No, it's happened for real in real life.
That's crazy though. That is crazy.
So I was sleeping on the couch and there's like lots of extra towels and like, you know, stuff that I hadn't cleaned up yet from. It wasn't horrible. But it was pretty, I was like cleaning up dirty dishes off the counter. I'm like, oh, sorry, you know. And I told them, I'm like, yeah, I just had some friends over from college. And they're like, oh, that's fine. And they were like really cool about it. So like it didn't turn out to be a disaster. But I was panicking though.
It felt like you were probably freaking out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when I see that in a movie and it might seem like, oh, that's stupid. That would never happen. Like I was one step away from it being that out of.
Yeah.
It's
You're breaking up.
So, Phil. By the way, we should stop talking for a moment here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just want to say the moral of that. What? Hello? Phil?
Go on.
Sorry. Okay, so the moral of that story is don't let college students house sit for you. That just seems like a bad idea. I know I wouldn't let a college student
house
sit for me. Because college, like, there's nothing good is going to come out of that situation. They're, like, even if they don't have some crazy huge party, it's going to be like something like me where they leave the heat on for 2 weeks or they eat all your food or they, you know, they manage to clog up a toilet and flood. Like, something's going to happen.
Yep.
Like, inevitably. I think the most responsible house sitters, probably an old person or like a high school kid, because they will be so terrified of like a college kid doesn't care.
Or a neighbor that like lives right by you that you know you can trust or something.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Knowing my,
I will never have a college kid watch my house. I'll just say that.
But then it's like, I used to house sit all the time for like Mike, but
I house sat many times, but that, you know, that was the closest I ever got to a disaster there.
Nothing ever happened when I house sit. Like, well, sometimes I would have friends over and they would do stupid things. So again, like, it's not even, it might not even be, you know, like, it's always something like that. Yeah. All right. So actually, we have a guest with us who's been patiently waiting for us to show.
Sorry, we talk a lot. So.
We have Mr. Brian Apodaca, co-creator of Zombie Outlaw, with us. How are you doing?
Hello.
I was just reminded the other day, because you were talking about PaleyFest, and I'm like, I actually met Brian at PaleyFest.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really random, like, how much came out of two guys standing around outside Arclight. Like it's just really weird how that's where that was the origin of that was. We were both sitting around out there waiting beforehand. Was it before or after?
That was, well, I think we sat next to each other, and then I went out. It was with my
The Judd Apatow tribute.
Yeah, that was a really cool like back one.
In 2009?
Yeah, it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago at this point. I don't know what year exactly, but it's been a while. And we sat next to you, I think, Laura and I, we sat next to you, and then
we just started talking.
Yeah, we're talking a bit, and then afterwards, I was like, oh, man, we should talk more to that guy. And then you came, like, popped out, and I was like, whoa, there he is. So then we talked a little more.
Yeah, and I just remember as I was talking to you, like, we watched – who do we see? We saw Gary Shandling leave, and he very – I briefly was like, oh – and then also Tom Arnold, we saw him too.
I remember actually Laura pointed out to me that Jason Segel was kind of like hanging. There was like a
– Oh, yeah. He was up on the balcony because they were having their exclusive party up there.
Yeah. He was like looking down like we're all like –
He was like talking to a girl or something.
Yeah. There was something going on. But yeah, I was just imagining him like looking down at all these people geeking out about Freaks and Geeks and just, you know, who knows what he's thinking.
And I remember also out there in the midst of all that, like, America Ferrara just, like, walked by, and there was some autograph hound guy that, like, bugged her. I thought that was weird.
Well, now it's starting to sound like Comic-Con or something.
Yeah. Well, it was. I think she was just going to the movies because it was Hollywood Arclight, and you never know who you're going to see there.
Did you guys ever see or did I ever tell you the story about the guy at the you probably have seen this or something like this where at Comic-Con, Mark Hamill, and this guy, Mark Hamill was just getting like harassed. It was pretty bad. I was like, I think there were, I don't know what it was. He was just in some hallway and there weren't many people talking to him, but a few people were getting autographs. Right. And he signed a bunch of stuff for this guy, and then the guy, he's like, I'm not going to sign anything else. So the guy, like, starts walking away, and then he grabs his kid and gives the kid some stuff and tries to get the kid to come up to him sign stuff. And then, like, Mark Hamill's security guy is like, you know, Mark Hamill's being nice, of course, but his security guy or whatever is like, hey, you know, we already signed a bunch of crap for you, dude. Come on. But it was just, I was like, wow, you know, that's Star Wars
people
problems.
People like, get crazy. Like, we were just talking about this. On Popsicles, were you at the Lost?
Yeah, I was at.
Okay, so Derek was saying that they ended rather abruptly because there was a mad rush on the stage.
Yeah, I was up above, so I wasn't down, but I looked down and I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not down there. I'm glad I didn't even have the thought to do that because I'm up in the balcony level or whatever. But yeah, that was.
He said scary. it got a little scary for a minute.
Yeah, I thought the Freaks and Geeks one was bad, but Lost was kind of another level.
Well, because I think Freaks and Geeks was a very unique thing because they were into it. They were like, they actually stopped and stayed out there, whereas most of the things that I've seen at Pelly Fest, they need to get out of there because it's just too nuts. I remember at the Buffy reunion, like, things were a little crazy, and like, so, like, there was a mad rush, so they had to like have security form like a barrier, and it was nuts. And that's where that's why we were on the balcony, for Freaks and Geeks, and when I saw that they were staying like out there, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go try and get something. But like, most of the time it's not like that at all. It's like a bunch of people try, and like then the people are like, oh crap, we need to get out of here.
I remember the second we went to two of those. I saw you at the second one too, which was like the 10-year I don't know whatever reunion, and that Saban Theater or whatever.
Yeah,
and when we went down there, I liked the one at the ArcLight better in a way because it wasn't like, but the one at the other theater was cool. But yeah, afterwards there was that mad rush, and I had bought one of those posters, and my friend Chris was there with me, or Topher. Do you guys know him?
Yes.
I went down there and I was like, let me get an autograph. I was trying to get an autograph, and no one was. I just don't have that, like, and he just like, here, give it to me. And
you gotta get in there.
Yeah, he just like got, he elbowed his way through there, and he got, you know, and I was like, how the hell? He got like 5 or 6 signatures, and I was like, I probably would have gotten maybe one if I was lucky.
I'm lucky because I'm tall, so I can just reach over everybody.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was doing.
Yeah, I can't. I'm amazed.
I got a ton at that one, too.
Yeah, Phil got more than I did, and I got a lot.
I was very persistent, I think.
They were all out there for a long time, and that was unique for Pelly Fest, I think.
Do you remember being introduced to me that night? Like, I remember meeting you very briefly.
That's the thing. Yeah, I've met you like 3 or 4 times. I think briefly. Chris and I were talking to you guys afterwards, or something. We're going to our cars or something. But
I remember that too. That was awesome.
I would say we'd have another one of those. I remember you were telling me at the time that they probably won't do that for forever again now, another Freaks and Geeks one. But
yeah, I don't see that, especially considering like just the people in that show just get more and more famous and do more and more things, and they're all so busy that just to get because that was basically everybody but Franco, and then on the undeclared side, it was everybody but Sons of Anarchy guy, Charlie Hunnam. But it was like everybody. And even Franco and Hunnam did, like, they filmed like little things. And if they could have been there, they would have been there. It wasn't like, oh, we're too cool. Like, they wanted to be there. And I don't see something like that being able, like, especially with like all the like the huge guys, like Apatow himself, Rogan, you know, Siegel. And like, and all the other, but then like other people, like John Francis Daly is a huge screenwriter now, like just stuff like that. Like, I just don't see that those kind of things don't happen too often. And we were lucky to be part of it. And then when I think about just that other Apatow thing that you and I went to, which was like, that was that. I mean,
Will Smith, like, Tom Arnold and
Gary Shandling. Like, seeing him up there with Gary Shandling was amazing. And then Paul Rudd was there. Jonah Hill was there. That was like all the freaks were there. There was, I think, was Martin Starr there? I don't remember. But I know, like, that was Busy Phillips was there.
Yeah, she was there.
Seth Rogen and Jason Segel were there. So it was like all the freaks. But and Paul Feig was there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's
Paul Rudd and Jonah Hill, so it was like a kind of a variety. Oh, and Andy Dick was there, so it was like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's all like the Apatow, like the whole lineage.
It was
like
the whole spectrum. It was really cool. It was like from the very beginning, Gary Shandling up to, like, you know, it was like he had just worked with Paul Rudd. And so
that's right, because that one wasn't just a Freaks and Geeks.
Was the full Apatow everything.
Yeah, awesome. Right. That's right. Yeah, I remember actually how I got tickets for that. We I think we got them on Craigslist, and some guy just like met us outside like the Arc Light and was like, "Here, you know." So, cool. I don't know how you got tickets for that, but
that was in the period where I was hardcore, and I got membership so I could buy them ahead of time. That's how I got, and like I got that. I got Buffy, and I actually bought extra Buffy tickets, and I made a nice little chunk of money.
Wow!
Because I bought some, knowing they were gonna like be able, they were gonna be hot commodities, which they were. Because I knew that was a once in a lifetime event.
Wow!
Like, because even when they've done like panels at Comic-Con, like they didn't get the, like, it was every, including Sarah Michelle Gellar, it was everybody except Allison Hannigan wasn't there for some reason.
Does she have like a decent relationship with Joss Whedon still?
Yeah, she does. I just think she's,
it's just,
I don't know,
she's doing different time now, I guess.
Busy. She's you know, I don't know. I think she just kind of stepped away from the spotlight for a while.
This feels like it's time she wanted to move on from that, I guess. But crazy.
But so Paley Fest. Now it's, I guess, this year. So what was, Derek said it was cool. Like, it was in the Kodak Theater now. Like,
yeah, apparently that's where they're moving it. Like,
they've never, I feel like they've never had it in the same, it's always changed venues. Like, cause it was at the art, it used to be at, like, at the museum in Beverly Hills. Then it was in at the Arclight. I think they did the Arclight for like 1 year, maybe 2 years. And then they moved it to the Saban Theater, and now it's at the Kodak Theater. It's not Kodak anymore. It's, what is it now?
Yeah, whatever it is. But yeah, I think a lot of people still call it the Kodak. But yeah, like you said, it's something else now, because Kodak is kind of defunct almost.
That place, I don't know. The only problem having it there is just like that place is such a traffic parking nightmare.
Yeah, that parking there is horrible. It's annoying.
You either have to pay a ton or drive around forever.
Yeah, or you're gonna pay a lot to go somewhere to get it validated, so it kind of defeats the purpose. Go to a restaurant there, and you know.
Yeah, I used to have, when they had like, I had like some scam there. Like, I think it was we found out that like any purchase could get validated, but it was back when the Virgin Megastore was open, and they sold like gum at the Virgin Megastore. So I'd buy like a pack of gum,
nice,
and validated parking at the. But even then, the validated parking is only for like 4 hours. So if you're gonna be at like some big event, like, you still got to be careful, because that racks up quickly.
Jeez.
So,
yeah, Lost was pretty cool, except it just, I think Josh Holloway and it had Jorge Garcia, it had a few people, but
I heard the problem was Dominic Monaghan and Evangeline Lilly recently broke up.
Oh.
So I guess they couldn't be in the same place. And also, as some of us, if you listen to Popsicles, you know that Matthew Fox is crazy.
Yeah, I was like, wow, he's
had some run-ins with the law.
Really?
Yeah.
He's still trying to get back to the island.
So I think they were short some people. But hey, Lindelof was there, and I didn't think he was going to. I thought everyone thought that he just wasn't going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, he seemed pretty good-natured about it, actually. And the crowd questions, the people asking questions and stuff, were really, it was pretty entertaining, actually. It worked.
That's good, because Q&As can sometimes just be... Well, even at the Freaks and Geeks one, there was some... that was the funniest thing when drunk Busy Phillips like told that guy off. That was pretty funny.
I kind of miss the old days of Comic-Con, though, where there would always be some awkward or unusual questions, you know? Well,
I remember for a while I had like a streak where like they've done a much better job of screening, and like now they'll just cut people off.
They really police it now. But
like back in the day, you would always have either some weirdo or some guy like begging somebody to watch their movie. Like I remember when I was going to a lot of Kevin Smith Q&As, there was always some horrible self-promoter, and then they would get just like booed out of the building.
Oh yeah.
And
I remember the year with Angelina Jolie, or one of the years, and then
yeah.
It was like four or five people in a row asking to come like hug her, or I feel bad, you know, you have a life-threatening illness, but the fact that you bring that up when you come up to ask a question and it's like, I have HIV or whatever it is, can I meet you after? Like, I'm sorry, that's just kind of weird. And it's like, what about the rest of the people?
Weird.
Yeah, what about the rest of the people in the hall, you know? It's like, it's strange. I don't know.
I remember the first year of Hall H, the first year of Hall H, it was like Serenity, and there were so many crazy, there was a dude sitting behind me that was like wearing like a Pope outfit, and he's like, I'm the Pope of Joss. And he was so freaking weird, and he tried to like run up and like, oh.
But you know, there's part of me that misses a little bit of that. Because it was almost a Wild West spirit, of the con, you know, and now it's like...
I think they had to regulate it so they could get celebrities to want to come.
Yeah, they keep them coming, yeah. Because
I think if, like, that kind of craziness, I don't think you could get the huge, huge, huge celebrities that they do get, because they have to feel some level of, like, okay, nobody's going to try and, like, run up and hug me. People aren't, like, they have to, like, I think they've had to kind of rein that in a little bit.
Well, yeah, not even in that, but just in the questions that they ask, that they're really like pre-screening them beforehand. Yeah,
because they don't want somebody who, like, you know, they've never been to a con before and get asked some like creepy ass question. And sometimes they still manage to didn't somebody ask Scarlett Johansson like what kind of underwear she wore under her costume or something?
What? Would not be surprising.
Just people. I remember
I have like a fake question.
Pervy questions, Scarlett.
Were you guys there the year that Kevin Smith couldn't? Because I know you guys have connections with Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. The year that he couldn't.
That he didn't show up in time, and so
yeah, he got down there like 8 o'clock. At
Rosario Dawson on the phone.
And Rosario. Oh man,
that was. But then when he got there, he did a panel, but it was like super late, and that's how it started. That's how he started closing the show. Like, that's when his Saturday night thing started. Because he used to be in the, like... Because I remember, like, the first year of Hall H, he was, like, right before Serenity, I think, or right after. I just remember that year because some crazy guy just got up in the middle. Like, Kevin had said something about Jesus, and this guy just yelled out really loud, like, he died for you! He died for you! And just started screaming it. And Kevin just said... Dude, I know. Chill. Like, it's okay. And it was so, and like, he handled it so well.
He's a master of he's the best with like hecklers, or he can take any comment and make it like a genius bit of comedy. It's it's amazing to see.
Yeah, he does really well. But Rosario did really good at filling in for him.
I thought she was great.
I really enjoyed that. And that did have some, I think somebody was like, why are you so super duper blah blah blah, like they had a couple questions like that. It was just like,
yeah, because it was just her and Kevin on the phone.
Yeah, and I think she sang like a Carpenter song or something, and it was cool.
All right, so we have one piece of mail.
All right.
Oh, no.
Hey guys, Mark Bolton here. So good old Mark Bolton from Nightwing Loves Power Girl. You guys should have Janelle back on the show. She was really great and interesting. Oh, there you go. Tell Janelle she's got fans. Also, Brendo, you should have your brother on the show. I'd like to hear his point of view about your guys' childhood. I'm sure you would.
I would also
like to hear I've been working on it, but it's never quite... I mean, first, like, when he was in town, things were just a little too crazy, so we didn't get around to it. And then he doesn't have a computer anymore because it was his ex's. And so now he just has a phone, and I'm trying to get him to use the Hangouts app, but I don't think that's going to work for him. So he might be – I think he might be coming out in May. So maybe. We'll see. I'm trying to make it happen.
That would be fun. He's a funny guy too.
And he's funny. He's a comedian. CarsonCreasy.com. If you're in the Portland or even greater Washington areas, he's been doing shows in Seattle. He's been making his way around.
Have you had a chance to go up Northwest? Have you had a chance to go up and hang out with him up there at all? Or
yeah, not lately, but I've gone up to Portland quite a bit. It's an awesome town. And then I actually got to see him do stand up in San Francisco, which was awesome.
That's cool.
All right, so then
Mark says, I really want to see him live. So
Mark says, I'm still rooting for the swing set of Doom to be done by May 25th of this year. Oh.
Phil? You guys are going to have to fill me in. What is
yeah.
this?
Okay, we'll so see Phil, about that. Was it your parents or Janelle's parents?
It was Janelle's stepmom. Well, dad and stepmom.
Okay, so Janelle's dad. Stepmom sent Audrey and Luke, was this for Christmas?
Yes.
A giant, like, junk, like, swing set, play set
thing.
And we've all kind of had a pool of when Phil is going to be able to put it together. I'm saying Christmas 2015. there's a few different guesses, but Mark's is by far the most optimistic. And he's been saying May 25th of this year, and that's rapidly approaching.
Well, do you want to know the update?
We've got the swings up. We've got the you're still working on the shuttle. What are you at?
Well, yeah. So remember, like we had the wrong bolt.
Oh yeah, that's right. You had the wrong bolts.
Well, I called like their customer service thing. And it's funny because it was like, it's just a lady. Like, it's, hi, this is Susan. I'm not at my desk right now. Like, it's, I don't know. There's got to be like five people working.
It's like Kelly at Dunder Mifflin.
Exactly. I mean, that's what it was.
She's the customer service department.
I left her a message and then I didn't hear back from her until like while we were on vacation. I got a call from like Missouri or something. And I'm like, what's this? And then they left a voicemail and it was the lady from customer service there. And I haven't done anything.
Did they get you the right part or?
I don't know. I haven't called her back yet because we literally just got back and
you better call that lady because Mark's gunning for you.
In the last 2 weeks since we've had our show, I've done nothing. So
if somebody does guess it, I will award them a prize.
Yes. I'm trying. I'm trying to get it together, but I make no guarantees.
I just and also the funniest part about it is since even though this thing is not even fully constructed and is not mounted into the ground, Phil still lets his kids play on it.
It's pretty solid, you know. I hold it down.
Something for the next Radio Brennoman Kickstarter here. Video of Phil putting this together.
It wouldn't be very exciting. It would just be me not knowing how to use tools.
Okay. So then Mark says, I know the odds are stacked against me. They sure are. But I believe that hope is what makes us human. Swing Set of Doom 2014. Lastly, you guys mentioned playing D&D. Could you tell us some exploits from that, like what characters you played, what their most exciting adventures were, and if you wrote some awesome campaigns? Thanks, love the show. Well, the game we played with Phil, me, who all played? Me, you,
Josh Anderson from Pillage and Extra Game.
Josh was actually our dungeon master, and then it was Jeff and Brian. And who else?
Josh's brother, Caleb.
That's right, Caleb. So what was your character's name again? You were
It was Elrond Hubbard.
Elrond Hubbard, that's right.
Because I'm a dork like that.
And you were a priest?
Yeah, I think wizard priest, something like that.
Oh, that's right. You were a wizard. You were a wizard.
Yeah, I think I was a wizard. I think Brian?
No, Jeff was a priest or something.
Yeah, I think. No, no. Maybe I was the priest and Jeff was the wizard.
Yeah, Jeff was the wizard because I remember he was
Because I was the healer. Magic. Yeah. That's right.
You don't even remember your class. I was Carlos the Dwarf Barbarian.
That's right.
And let's see, we played like Josh just had us doing like one of the starter campaigns, but it was really fun. We played like three or four times.
Yeah, I would love to do it more. It's just a matter of
we might play a little bit at WonderCon. We might play a little bit at WonderCon.
Well, if you move back to LA, that puts you more in like, you know.
Yeah, and if we move back to LA, I'm sure I'm going to get the Black Box crew back together, and maybe one of you or Josh or can join us sometime.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that Black Box crew is a bunch of guys from Smog Castle. We used to, me and Derek and Muse and some other guys, and I was the Dungeon Master, and I actually did write some campaigns for that one.
That's right.
And that was a lot of fun. Most of it was actually Derek, because I had every one of the... Craig said his company has office in San Diego. I'll have to talk to him.
Oh, sweet. Thanks for joining for a second.
I asked all of the guys, each one of the players, to write like a little biography of their character, kind of prompting them, and then I could use that to like develop the campaign off of. So when I and Derek's was by far like the funniest and also like really detailed, and so I kind of used that where like he was this wizard and he had an evil twin brother and then like so I had like where his evil twin brother had imprisoned all of the adventurers in this like giant labyrinth and they were trying to fight their way out, and we did some other stuff. I had a lot of fun with those guys, and
that's cool. As far as our exploits, I think one of our longest, most like horrifying battles was the rats.
Oh my gosh, the freaking rats.
We like fell in a rat hole and we were stuck in there for like ever.
We couldn't get out, and we kept falling. We kept trying to get out and falling out, and we're just, and then like somebody else, and then we tried, and then when we did get out, somebody else ended up falling back in.
Yeah.
It was a pretty, and like the rats almost killed all of us. But we were like brand new to D&D, and we were still kind of learning the ropes.
Thing, because I was kind of like.
We also made fun of Phil a lot.
Because I was kind of like the strategist for the team. Like I would like make our plan and I would set out these elaborate plans of all this stuff I was going to do for my turn. And inevitably I would roll a one like every time. Like I never got to do anything because I always roll a one. So
yeah,
it's good times though.
But yeah, we might get a game together during WonderCon. We're working on that. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. Josh wants to try and get a game together. Brian, do you play any D&D or anything like that?
I think I've done it like twice. I think I've tried to play it like two or three times, but we just basically sat down and started getting our characters together, and then we didn't have a second meeting, and we've done that like twice.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like you have to like kind of make sure that because just getting it started takes a while. So it's a
commitment. Well, because Josh was like, you know, like all into it, he did like put all the stuff together for us. So it was kind of done for us. It was cool.
Yeah. But even then, like you got to, you know, yeah, it's still like once you, it's hard to get the ball rolling. And then, but then once you do, like it's so much fun. And
it really is.
Dungeon Master, it was like, it kind of fulfilled my dream of like being a game designer, because that's basically what you're doing.
Right.
And it's so much fun. I liked it. And it was really cool towards the end also, because I kind of started, like, as I was more confident as a Dungeon Master, I started kind of playing things a little loose with the rules and just kind of letting things flow where they went, you know? And the last few sessions we had, it was like just so much fun. Like, I just remember at one point, Derek was like, you know what? I'm a wizard, so I'm gonna like become. I'm gonna like jump in this tree and become this giant tree monster. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so he like he was like stomping on these guys, giant tree monster, and we were having fun. And I think that's the to me is the fun part about those games is like just the openness, and you can do and create your own worlds, and it's fun for that. All right, so Brian, you had said you wanted to ask us some questions.
I feel like mail. I always listen to you guys, quite a bit. At work, I used to listen to Popsicles quite a bit, and then you guys had retired from that for a while, and then so I was listening to Radio Brendo Man. So now I kind of alternate and listen to both of them. I don't necessarily always get through them all, but I'll.
Well, it's a lot to get
through. Yeah, I understand that.
But when I'm at work, usually I used to have about an hour at work that I'd have an hour of downtime, and now it's probably sliced down over the years to like 15, 20 minutes at downtime. But I still got time that I can put it on and play it for a while between 3 and 4 a.m. That's when I'm usually listening to.
So you work for the audience. You work overnight at a hotel.
Yeah, I work overnight at the hotel up here in Hollywood,
probably see some interesting.
We have some celebrities occasionally, some B and C listers, and occasionally there's the big, like we had one time I had Jamie Foxx came in at like 3 a.m. and he had a couple people with him, and he had like his sunglasses on and everything still at like 3 or 4 a.m. It was kind of awesome, but I still asked for his ID, so that was cool. But, yeah, well, I knew it was him, but
I like those, like, because I have another friend who actually listener Ryan Kane. He used to work at the stories like that, like normal jobs in Hollywood where just you see like celebrities and like because like Ryan worked at the Arco on Sunset, like one of the Arcos on Sunset, and like he has so many like crazy, not just like celebrity stories, but also because of like it's in Hollywood, just crazy stories,
random stuff. Yeah,
but like, I mean, if he has like random stories of like dealing with junkies and all this crazy stuff, but also like Ryan Gosling came in at like 4 a.m. to use the bathroom, things like that.
The celebrities got to pee too.
Yeah,
they're just like us.
That's right.
But yeah, so I just find that entertaining, like those kind of things.
Yeah. No. I wanted to mention, actually, I've been reading the Entertainment Weekly, and I have a subscription to this now because my wife, her sister, got me a subscription a couple years ago now because she saw me spending all this money on it. But the new usually it's not that great, but this current issue is pretty cool. It has a whole thing about Spider-Man 2 and all that, but there's a couple articles in there. There's one about Kurt Cobain. It says the unsung melodies of Kurt Cobain. And then there's another one about Max Brooks, his Harlem Hellfighters. It looks really cool.
I heard about that. Yeah, it's funny. Derek hates Max Brooks, which I still don't understand. I think. Oh wait, no, I'm not thinking about Max Landis. No, Max Brooks is. He's the zombie, the World War Z guy, right?
World War Z, yeah.
So this is his new thing, right?
Yeah, it's looks like a graphic novel.
Max Landis. I'm sorry.
Black and white. It's about an all-black World War I regiment, and so it looks it's kind of a cool idea. I guess it's based in some real stuff. So
cool,
interesting.
Phil, do you guys still subscribe to EW?
You know, we don't anymore. We did for a long time.
You had it forever. It was always something I could count on if I went into your bathroom.
Well, here's the thing. Much like you mentioned, we wind up wasting way more money buying them on the stands all the time. Like, we probably should just get a subscription.
You know how cheap it is to subscribe to Entertainment
Weekly? Well, here's the thing.
I feel this like we're practically giving it away.
This is why we didn't, because for like 5 years in a row, we got it for like $10 a year.
Yeah,
and then they like sent us an offer for like $25, and we're like, forget that.
You probably bought it every.
Yeah, we spent $5 on one yesterday, so
yeah.
It's like,
so and like, if you do that like just 5 times, there you go.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why we haven't, but we probably should.
Yeah. And he got,
but there's not very many magazines to even subscribe to anymore. It's sad.
Yeah, magazines are going away. It just doesn't exist.
The only thing left is Mad Magazine.
Oh wow, here's a good question for Mario, and I already have my answer. What non-Marvel, non-DC comic should be made into a movie?
Oh. I don't know about a movie or a series, but like I think Why the Last Man. I don't know if you guys read that. That's really cool. That should be like a HBO series or something.
Well, I would say Preacher.
Well, that too. But they're making that, right?
Yeah, they are. Well, supposedly. I mean, they've been saying that forever. Also, the other one that they did actually film a pilot, and I guess it sucked, which blows my mind, Powers.
Wow.
Like, I guess they just shelved that pilot, which is unfortunate. And then the other one was, we just talked about this on Nightwing Loves Power Girl, but Blankets. Like, I could see that. Like, that would be...
Yeah, that sounded really cool.
Would you guys see that as like animated or
live action? I could see it like as either a lot animated or a live action movie.
Yeah.
I think it would work in both. I think there's this really cool like indie type comic called Zombie Outlaw that I think would make a really good movie. So
yeah,
that's what I would vote for.
Yeah, Adult Swim, man. That's what we'd love to see.
There you go. That would be sweet.
So you could see it as like a cartoon, like a 15-minute.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, little installments like that. Yeah, we'd love to, have something, do something like that.
So, yeah. Zombie Outlaw. That's a good transition here. this is you've created this comic. It's a character. It's about a. Well, I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, sure. You have this lead character, Matt Naismith, and he's in love with this girl, KT Delaney. And here's a little insight, since you guys will understand. Matt Naismith, at least in my mind, he was kind of like Jay Baruchel from Undeclared.
Nice. That's kind of his,
one of his influences there. So,
I can see that.
Yeah, Matt is, so he's in love with this girl, KT Delaney, and he's trying to, at least, get the courage to talk to her, or at least have some sort of, make some headway. I guess he's talked to her, but he's trying to make some headway there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he talks to his resident advisor, and his resident advisor, well, he needs some help on he's his grad student who's been in college for like 10, 15 years. He's been there forever. So he's the Van Wilder type guy. And, all these probably more geeky than that. So basically it turns out he needs some help doing this research on the zombie lore in the Old West that happened to be in Old West Irvine, California.
Yeah.
Irvine State University, which doesn't exist, but it exists in our world.
Choose Irvine as like the setting?
Well, it's kind of I'm from Orange County, so yeah. I mean, I was born in L.A., but I grew up in Orange County, so I wanted to give it a little bit of Orange County flavor, although I haven't really done much of that. But, so it's Irvine State, and my wife, she went to UCI, and I went to Chico State, which is, obviously a much more prestigious academic institution, right? But anyway, yeah, so it's kind of a melding of UC Irvine and Chico State in a way. So it's a very strange mix there.
And you guys are on your third issue?
Yeah, we're working on the third issue right now. And, we're going to be at WonderCon. You guys, we were talking about WonderCon. We're going to be there.
Yeah, WonderCon.
April 18th to 20th. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, hanging out with you guys. And we're going to work up something. We have something for... swag bag for you guys for the Benview Network, but I will not get into the details of that until I had something worked out. I was trying to work something out for Phil, but I think it will probably have to stick with something that's actually was more geared towards Derek, but eventually we'll get Phil's thing.
Okay.
I'm intrigued.
I wanted to have a shirt like a VSSS, a Vecchio Sanitation Services or something like that. No, Shower Sanitation Services, VSSS. You'd have like some sort of glass encasement or something that you can, that will snap around your neck so you can brush your teeth. I don't know. the lucite, you know, chamber or something.
That's awesome.
I can see that. That's great. So yeah, so you're going to be in the, are you going to be in the small press area or artist alley?
Yeah, we'll be in small press, 73 booth, okay, or table 73. It's SP 73. And, yeah, we're really excited about that. So we're,
by the way, WonderCon, for the first time that I can recall, sold out of badges on Saturday.
Oh, is it sold out now?
Saturday sold out.
Well, I think that's like the consolation now for Comic-Con. So a lot of people who can't make Comic-Con are doing that. Yeah, so
I've never seen where any day sells out, but Saturday sold out.
That's just going to get crazier and crazier. That's going to
More like Comic-Con now is just like out of reach for a lot of people.
Yeah. So now WonderCon is getting to the point where it's like Comic-Con was like 7 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So then what happens when WonderCon gets done? Is there going to be another con? Like,
they have to have another one. Yeah, they'll have to have one up in Burbank or something. They'll have to have another one.
Yeah.
Yucaipa, I think it's the next well, big Phil, comic area.
You should get on that. You should start.
Yucaipa Comic-Con.
We'll be in on the
ground. Like we did with Long Beach. So speaking of that, we also got Long Beach Comic Expo, which is now 2 days.
Yeah.
So a lot of con. A lot of cons.
Yeesh.
It's a lot.
Have you guys ever gone to any of the other cons, like in Arizona or Chicago or any
of those
other?
I've been to New York, and that was awesome.
Cool. Wow. And we went to a web comics convention in Texas.
Yes, we did.
How was that?
It was really cool. It was cool, like an all web comics convention, and we ran
all the panels. Yeah.
And we got to be on a panel with Scott Kurtz from PvP, so that was kind of amazing. Multiple panels.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, he's a super nice dude because I didn't even bother asking him because I just assumed he'd be too busy like selling things that is hugely popular comic, you know, his table. But he's like, hey, he just came over. He's like, hey, if you guys need me to be on any panels, and we're like,
okay,
Scott Kurtz, and he's hilarious. He's a great, if anybody ever watches Penny Arcade TV or any of those things, he's great. He's really funny.
Yeah, he's a good panelist.
Yeah, he can, there's never awkward silences when you ask Scott Kurtz on your panel.
Like so you've never been to that PAX or whatever that is, right?
I haven't.
No.
Josh goes every year, and I've been wanting to go. It's just since it's so close to Comic-Con, just putting money and time off together, it's really difficult.
Yeah, that's tough for me for getting time off from work. Like WonderCon
and other cons, that's the same thing. And like traveling, it's just expensive. And because you got to, like when you travel, you got to stay somewhere, and then you got travel, and it just gets really
parking
expensive.
Or whatever.
Especially if you're not really selling anything, that's where, I mean, if I had like, Phil and I have already like been like, if we ever get like any kind of like independently wealthy or anything, like I would totally just go to every convention and just travel around.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't even care if I made any money. I would love to do that.
Imagine if you had millions and you could just do that for a year, just for one year.
Oh my gosh, it'd be amazing.
That'd be really cool.
Because that'd be so fun, and just, I don't know. I still want to go to Emerald City, like, really bad, because I've heard it's great. And I've also heard really good things about Phoenix Comic Con, and I actually registered for pro badges and got them 1 year, but then I ended up not going. But, like, I really want to go to that sometime.
Yeah,
I've heard Chicago's really good, from what I heard.
Phoenix seems more doable than some of the other ones.
Yeah.
Like,
because, I mean, you can drive. That's like a drive. You could drive to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I've driven Phoenix.
Yeah, you could possibly pull that one off a lot easier than Chicago or something, you know?
Yeah. When I went to New York, it just happened to, like, I have a friend who I stayed with for free. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to afford to go out there. And this was back when air travel was a lot cheaper. Because I think I got a ticket. Virgin was doing a special where it was like, I think $200 round trip to New York City.
You guys never did WonderCon when that was up in San Francisco?
No, I never did. The other one I've been wanting to do, because I feel like we could actually do well at selling our book, since it's more our style, what is it called?
Ape Alternative Press Ape, Expo.
Yeah, Alternative Press Expo in San Francisco.
I think that's going to be a lot bigger this coming year, because
it's getting big.
Yeah, this was last year. They had it at that. Sorry, this was last year. They had it at that concourse. So now,
and that, but also I've always wanted to go just because like it's mostly zines and other cool stuff like that, and I'm huge into that kind of stuff. Like it's very small and indie, and that's right up. Especially that's Phil and I's bread and butter, you know.
Right.
I feel like we could possibly, and the tables are affordable, and so I've been wanting to do that.
I did that for a couple years with Chris, and it was really cool. There was a Chevy's restaurant like caddy corner or across the way, so we go to Chevy's at night afterwards a couple times, and it was pretty fun. But the parking, when I lived in Modesto for a couple years, and I drove there to San Francisco.
Well, yeah, parking in San Francisco.
That was like $40 a night parking. So in addition to a hotel,
that's where I would probably. I have friends there, so we would probably stay at our friends and like take the BART and to the convention. Like that's how I feel like that would, because that's what I plan on doing for. Like, because WrestleMania is going to be at the new 49ers stadium next year, the brand new stadium. And so I plan on staying at my friend Mike's house and then taking the train in or something to go to WrestleMania. Plus free lodging, so that takes a lot of the costs out of it. Because anybody that knows anything, I get convention time, like, that's the most expensive part of your trip right there.
Jeez. Yeah.
Especially like the big cons. Like Comic-Con, man. Like that's the other big thing if I move. Like, I'm going to lose my... I saved so much money last year. Like you don't even know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Like even with like the Topher Inside deal.
Yeah.
Like because before Topher, like I was spending like on average like $600 on a hotel, and then with Topher, but even with Topher, it's still like 250.
It's still a lot, yeah.
And that's a lot of money, you know.
Well, yeah. I'm speaking of which, you guys all have your days, because I requested off Tuesday through Sunday from my work, or at least starting Tuesday. I think I'm gonna go somewhere else afterwards. We're gonna go up to San Francisco afterwards.
Nice,
but. Yeah, I think the Arcade Fire is playing like the next week. We're going to try to get...
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. That's cool.
I saw Arcade Fire up there a while ago, Neon Bible days. It was. Have you seen them live before?
I saw them here in L.A. once a couple years ago.
They're incredible.
It was pretty... Yeah, it was pretty cool. Cool
I
show.
I saw them with... I actually... It was awesome. I got to see them with LCD Sound System.
Jeez.
Which they're broken up now.
Holy moly. Do you guys you could stay with Benson and those guys, right? If you end up moving, you could
get in. Yeah, I could get back in, but this year I don't know what I would do. If it happens soon, like I would have to put something together quick, because most of those rooms are full. I'd probably have to sleep on the floor somewhere. I have to crowd in. And then also I've got Derek with me and potentially Adam Wells. So I'd feel like I'm letting them down if I move right away. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm still scrambling for a ticket for a friend of mine. I'm trying to get a ticket at least for 1 or 2 days, a pass. I know there's that last chance thing.
Yeah, but it's that's a crapshoot.
I screwed up, man. I screwed up. I could have gotten... Because I got two passes, you know, with a pro pass. I could have gotten a third pass.
Yeah, you can buy one, but you have to do it when you register. So
yeah,
it's always like, I feel like I should just start buying it, and I know somebody will need it. But you have to have that. You have to have that money right available.
Well,
I feel like if I do, I should just buy it. I should just buy it because somebody's going to want it.
But the trick, there now is that you have to basically know the person it's going to be, because they'll check the well, not yeah. really actually, because
ever had your ID checked at Comic-Con ever?
Well, for the Pro Pass, the main person. But anyway, I've been doing it for years. I've been getting passes for a couple extra people, and then they'd pay me back, but I knew who it was. But the person I was going to get it for, I screwed up because I panicked. I was on there, and then it said, "Is your information correct?" And I realized later I could have just changed it later, but for some reason I panicked and I went out of there and I changed my address because I just moved. And by the time I went back in, that extra pass, like the free pass, was gone. And I thought, okay, for a Pro Pass, they're going to be the plus one is guaranteed for all.
No, that's not guaranteed anymore. Phil didn't get one last year.
That's nuts to me. That's nuts. Like,
there are some legitimate pros that can't even get their own pro badge anymore.
I saw last year. So, like,
nuts.
That's weird.
This time I camped out and like was hitting it the second it turned.
Because I was worried that Phil was going to get locked out of everything, and then we're going to have to come up with some scheme. I'm pretty lucky because we have like multiple lines of defense in case, which we've never had to use because we've gotten, but like there are multiple. I feel safe, but I just don't understand. Like, I would, if I'm like for like your normal run of the mill geeks, like how, like if you have to hit that lottery basically to get in. And if you don't, you're done. That's it.
But up until last year, it was a lot easier. Last year was the first year that they said, you know, pro passes are not guaranteed. Like before that, I had a pro pass for like the past 4 or 5 years, and pro pass was like, you know, behind the firewall, you're pretty much guaranteed.
Oh yeah.
Starting last year, they changed it. Now you have an advantage over the general public, but still, it's like it will sell out.
There's still a mad rush.
So it's never going to be what it was. And I remember. Yeah, you guys remember. I mean, I know Brendan. You said you've gone for a long time. I remember. Yeah, you used to be able to walk up.
The first 2 years I walked up, and
it's so different.
First 2 years I went, but then things really quickly got nuts because then I remember the next year I ended up waiting in line for a badge for like 4 hours, and the line was back to Seaport Village, and it was horrible. And so that's when I said, I can't do this anymore. I actually wasn't going to go the year after that because I just didn't. I had such a bad experience getting those badges. And then that year, actually, somebody hooked me up with a badge. So I came for like 2 days. And then that was the last year that you could buy badges on site, because every year since then they've sold out.
I remember that one year, I don't know, it was 2005 or 2007 or probably 2005 or something, that they were like...
It was like 07.
The first, but I just remember the first year that it sold out. Like we were on the floor and they're like, Comic-Con has sold out.
Yeah, that was like 06, yeah.
Yeah, we had never heard that before.
That had never happened. And then I remember it quickly ramped up, because then I remember the next year was the first year that one of the days sold out in advance. And then I remember I knew we had reached the max, like we had reached that point when Sunday sold out, because before, like, I think that was like 2008, maybe, was when Sunday sold out for the first time.
I was starting to go.
And I remember they had a year or two where they had like, I think at least 1 year they had where it was like a running meter where you could buy passes in advance.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool, but it wasn't like it is now. It was just like you could still, I got, you know, it's getting low, I better buy it, you know.
As much as Mario might be trying to make a joke, that was kind of around the time of Twilight was when that started going crazy.
It's true, yeah. That a lot of people really got angry because they thought that's what started. I think it was just a natural
thing. It was going to happen. I think it was inevitable. The way things were ramping up. Like, it was just, it kept getting bigger. The real start of it was 2005. They opened Hall H, which led to the big, giant, giant Hollywood panels. Because before then, we hadn't seen things at that level to when you had huge A-list celebrities, like huge. Because that year was like that year Charlize Theron was there, and yeah. and like it kind of just went from there. And then you had where it became like this huge giant thing, like, and so it kind of it snowballed from there. I think the Twilight thing, I blame Twilight for one thing, and that's where people camp out now for everything. Because the idea that people are camping out, then everybody's getting there early. And in reality, if nobody did that, everything would probably be fine. But because that attitude is in there now, like that is the thing now. Like now it has gotten to the point where if you are not camping out in line the night before, you're not getting into Hall H. Like that is it. Like everybody, because Josh last year got in line at like 5 in the morning for Doctor Who, and he missed the Doctor Who panel.
That's nuts.
Which wasn't even the first panel.
Yeah, well, up until last year, we had always like one day gone to Hall H, and usually a lot of times it was Saturday we go see, at least we'll get into the Kevin Smith thing towards the end. But last year, we waited for like, I think we didn't get there early, but we got there like 10 a.m., which was way too late. But 10 a.m., and we were there till like 4 or 5 p.m., didn't get in. Usually, it used to always be like, if I give myself a 4-hour buffer, by the time the third hour gets around, you basically get in.
Yeah.
And that's done now.
Yeah.
But that's only like 2 years ago that it. Yeah.
Well, even a couple years ago, it's weird though. There's still weird things that happen. Like, even was it 2 years ago, me and Phil and Josh, Phil got there and almost walked in for Twilight, which proves that it's BS that you have to get out. And then we went to Expendables 2 and a bunch of stuff, and we waited in line for less than an hour. And then the year before that, like Scott Pilgrim, we walked into Hall H. So sometimes random stuff, that does happen. But it's getting to be so rare now because I think the reason why that used to happen is because they would have insane things happening in one and then not so insane things happening in another place. But now there's always huge giant panels everywhere. So where Ballroom 20 is nuts, Hall H is nuts. So we'll see what happens when they actually do, if San Diego ever gets off their ass and approves this Convention Center expansion. They're still dragging their feet on that, but when they get another big room, because I feel like if they got one more big room, that might be the trick.
It would still be difficult though, because
I mean, make things a little bit better, because it's just now I don't expect, I'm at the point now where I just don't expect to go to any panels at all.
Well, the thing is,
and then from there, everything is a surprise. And Phil kind of taught me that.
Yeah. That's right. You just got to go with it. Go with the flow.
And because last year we ended up going to some panels, and the ones we did were great, but I didn't count on anything. And the only time I'm ever in Hall H is, and I swear this has happened the last 3 years, and who knows if it'll happen next year, is I luckily run into Kevin or somebody affiliated with Kevin who gives me a pass, and that's the only way we've gotten into Kevin's panel the last few years. And that's only that it randomly happens. It's not like I'm running around trying to track. That just randomly happens, luckily. Like, last year I literally ran into Kevin.
Well, yeah, I think that's the best way is, like you said, what Phil says, go with the flow, and if that happens, it happens, and if not, don't even worry about it.
There's so much other stuff to do.
Yeah.
And let alone like everything going on last year, like I walked so much because we were going, you know, they had like the, all the different like outside stuff. They had the, you know, in between like all the stuff, we had the Geek and Sundry Lounge. You had the Nerd Machine place. You had all the other video game places. Then we had the Nintendo Lounge, which is awesome. And also, you know, we have the, okay.
You guys had your panel.
Yeah, you had our panel. And hopefully this year we'll have our second panel.
We got into our panel, so that was good.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But here's how I'll know, and I've said this before. I'll know Comic-Con has gotten completely insane when, and I've been waiting every year for this to happen, when the word gets out on the free soda room. I feel like every year, I'm always surprised every year when we walk in there and it's not just completely crazy.
Now, are you talking about the Marriott or at the convention center itself?
At the Marriott.
They have
Well, there's the lemonade room at the convention center, but that's not nearly as good as the free soda room.
No, I was listening to your other podcast where you guys were talking about this. You said you met one of the designers for Disney.
Tony Baxter. Like, and every year since then, I've run into him randomly, and I'm like, we shared a moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you eliminate Hall H and Ballroom 20, you can pretty much go to any panel you want to go to. It's just those two.
Not even, though, these days. Like, there are other panels. I've been shut out of other panels.
Yeah, there's what was the one?
Yeah, there's...
But there's, like, some of those other big rooms. Like, well, for instance, the room where they always did, Mythbusters that we never, ever got into. Even when we would wait forever. And then they always did Riff Tracks in there. And then they finally put Riff Tracks in Ballroom 20. Not Ballroom 20. In the Bayfront. The Hilton Bayfront.
Yeah.
Which the word got out on the Hilton Bayfront because now those lines are always nuts. But we went to Penn & Teller twice. And we finally got to go to Riff Tracks because they moved Riff Tracks to the Bayfront. That's the only time we've gotten to go to Riff Tracks.
You had like a year buffer where people that weren't totally aware of it.
Yeah, because we got into community because I don't think a lot of people knew about the Bayfront. And that's the one time we got into community at Comic-Con because every year since then, the community panel at Comic-Con has been nuts.
Yeah.
To where they actually did it in Hall H last year.
It took Brendan a while to buy into Phil's philosophy of doing this.
But then once I did, so much happier.
Yeah, my wife, when we went to Comic-Con a few years, one of the first few years, Laura and I, when we went to Comic-Con, it was like her friends and me and, you know, Topher. And I had my clipboard. I had like the whole thing plotted out, like all these different things I wanted to go to. And she's like, wow, you're like more organized for this than you are for anything. Like, this is the most organized you've been in your life, you know? Like, yeah, you know, if only I put the effort I put into this, into other stuff.
Yeah. I feel like it's funny, like Benson and I, because we've got Benson sold on it. We've almost got Derek sold on our Comic-Con way of life.
See, for me, that's just how I live my life anyway. Like, I just don't, what's the point of stressing? The good stuff will come around and, you know, so, like, then you're always happily surprised when it works out.
We have had just amazing Comic-Con experiences. I would say the last four or five years in a row.
Yeah.
Like, cool things always happen, like, and when we don't expect them to. And it's always worked out.
I think you need Phil needs to record a hold thing for your work, and he needs to also come and talk to people at my work. Like, because the thing about patience, like, not a lot of people have patience anymore. It's really the general public.
And I do feel bad for people that come to Comic-Con, and I see these people, and I know they're going to just be miserable because they get there, and they're like, okay, I'm going to this panel, and then going to that, and they don't, like, and they're like, they have everything, like, exactly planned out to the schedule letter. I'm like, all right, none of that stuff is going to happen. You're going to be lucky if you get into one of those panels. And they just look at me like, what? And I'm like, the sooner you realize that, the happier you're gonna be.
It's a triage thing. You gotta make tough choices.
And you always have to have backups for everything. Like, if, like, you're like, okay, I'm gonna go to this, but if that doesn't work out, and once I adopted the, like, no camping out, no waiting in insane lines thing, so much happier.
Yeah, every year I try to do the Hall H, and we've gotten in every year, but this last year we didn't, so we basically wasted all.
And how frustrating is that when you've been waiting? Because I remember me and Josh and Rachel had that experience where we waited for like 3 hours and we realized this is going nowhere. And that's so frustrating when you realize that you've just wasted all this time and you're sunburned, you're angry, you're just tired.
Well, so yeah, just where, just the money that you spend and the time you spend to go down there. It's like, you know, I'm not working. I want to be doing something fun. Yeah. So
it's having fun. It's meeting new people. It's seeing new things, trying new things, going to a panel for something you might not know a whole lot about, but it ends up being cool. And sometimes they end up being dumb, but at least sometimes even the dumb ones are entertaining.
and air-conditioned.
And air-conditioned. And, you know, and if you subscribe to the Brendo and Benson, you know, model of you eat that giant breakfast, so you're just, like, energized, and then you snacks during the day, and then save your money for a big, nice dinner at some good restaurant downtown. And you have fun. We have
that
fun.
That was pretty entertaining, you guys debating that with Derek on that podcast.
Well, Derek still seems to think that you shouldn't eat a ton of breakfast and you should con food is for suckers.
Yeah. You got to plan around that one way or another.
And it doesn't give you the energy you need. You need energy because you are in a freaking endurance race. When I had my body media tracker on, and last year I logged, I think on one of our busiest days, I think it was Thursday, I logged 15 miles. Like, and that's what, but that's a typical day at Comic-Con, and you have to be ready for that, or you're going to be bummed, you're going to be tired, and you're not going to have fun.
Well, so, it's a roller coaster. It's kind of an emotional roller coaster. Like, I love Comic-Con, and I love comics, obviously, but man, there are times in years past that I've gone that as much as I love it and you pay for it and you want it, it's like sometimes I do have to just leave the hall and I exit on the backside and there's the water there. It's like
and that's where you know your escape plans and you've got places you can go. For Phil and I, it's kind of become either the free soda room or the Nintendo Lounge.
You got your go-to
place that you know you can go to, and that's the key to having a good time. And also just, you know, stop and when you stop and smell the roses or just talk to people or that's when you have those great experiences. I don't know.
It's just talking to other fans or other people who are into the stuff that you're into.
Whenever, and that's like last year when I was waiting in line to get into the Mattel panel, and you know, I'm like, well, all these people are waiting for the same thing I'm going to. They're probably also fans of the same thing. So I was able to talk to a bunch of guys in line because we were waiting for a WWE panel. So of course, like, of course these guys are going to be wrestling fans. So we also started talking about wrestling, and, like, it was awesome.
Did you go to that Maddie Collector one?
No, it's this is the Mattel WWE one. Mattel does panels for each of their lines.
Oh, gee.
And so they have the WWE one every year. And the last few years, there's always been, like, WWE superstars are there. And so become a must attend for any wrestling fan.
That's higher on your list of to-dos for the convention.
Yeah, like that was like the one. I remember Benson and I were like, that's the one thing we really want to go to, and luckily for us, you know, it was up the panel before it was Transformers, and that's kind of a whole different fan base, so there wasn't a lot of people. But a lot of the people, Benson had gotten there early, and apparently half the people there for Transformers were actually there for WWE. So I do also, the way, although I understand why Comic-Con does it, because I feel like it's the best way, I feel bad for sometimes when there's a panel and the people in that panel have no interest because they're waiting for the panel after yours. And I'm afraid that one of these days that's going to happen to us.
You know,
and it's like karma for all the times that I've done that. Sat through panels I don't care about.
Well, yeah, that Sunday that I left on Sunday, but I know they had the Doctor Who and Breaking Bad, right? So,
and the Breaking Bad people were pissed because there was so many Breaking Bad fans that thought they were just going to come in and be able to go to the Breaking Bad panel, and then they get there and there's Doctor Who people that have been there since yesterday, and they're not getting into their Breaking Bad panel.
Yeah, that was I thought about. I was like,
reading some of the tweets was very funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, that was that. I'm sure. Yeah, if that's the first time you've been to Comic-Con, and that would not be, you'd not be happy. But yeah, it's funny that kind of when you look at it, it's just nuts. It's a nuts situation. But let me ask you guys this: what would you do if you controlled everything? Would you do like wristbands, like No, all right, for Hall H.
Wizard showed that does not work.
That just that causes chaos.
They used to try that. It causes a different kind of chaos.
Yeah. Because people were trying to get from. Or what about like the Coachella model? If you just had two different weekends, and like, all right, you can go to this weekend or that weekend.
I don't know. I think that'd be too crazy.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out ways that, you know.
I kind of want to sorry, Phil, what?
Oh, I just said, what about clearing the room?
That has proven Wizard tried that, and it.
Oh, that's the same.
It causes a different kind. It still causes insanity. It's just a different kind of insanity.
Are people like fighting to stay in the room?
Or? Yes. And also, it causes people because then people have to choose things, but I think that's the thing. I think maybe you just have to force people to choose. I would try to do something to prohibit camping out.
Yeah, well, like you said, if they build on another Hall H, then maybe you'd have to do like two huge panels at the same time. And
they have been testing out ticketed events, which they did last year, kind of under the radar, where they did some things at like this place at the Horton Plaza. So yeah. I would be curious if they're going to try and do more of that, because I mean, again, Wizard tried that and it sort of worked, sort of didn't. I think if anybody could do it, it's them. I would want to discourage any kind of trying to camp, but because it's already happening, there's one of my favorite wrestling personalities, Dutch Mantel. He has a phrase he likes to say because people are always complaining about, well, it used to be like this. once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in. That's what he always says. So the toothpaste is out of the tube. Like,
yeah. Okay, but I think I have a solution here. So they make little each line, like a line for each panel that's going to be in there. So like, let's say Hall H, instead of one Hall H line, there's a line for each panel you want to get into. And yeah, then
people that want to go to multiple panels are going to complain.
Well, or at least you could have two parts of the day. If you're in the 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. group, or you're in the
no matter what you do, there's going to be.
Yeah. People will be upset.
Then you give a basic fan aptitude quiz to the people in line. So you know if they're really there for the thing they're seeing. So if they're in line for, you know, a Doctor Who thing, but really they want to see Breaking Bad or vice versa, you give them a little, you know, who's your favorite doctor and listen to the answer. If they have a basic knowledge of it, then you know.
Because that would require way too much time and effort.
Everyone's just standing around anyway. It gives them something to do.
Anthony, our friend Anthony Chu, went to D23 last year, and they had this could be interesting. They had fast passes. They gave out fast passes for panels, so you would go wait in line to get a fast pass, and then come back later, so you didn't have to camp out in line. Not
standing there, that makes sense.
That could
Or they could just have D23, Coachella, and Comic-Con all the same weekend to try to thin out the herd.
It's true. You know.
They could just do like the old-fashioned bakery type, you know, the number ticket thing. Everyone just gets a ticket, and then they stand at Hall H and call your number.
It's just funny because somebody was – they were talking about on because there's never been any – because people, you know, we complain about you know, Ticketmaster's website, but then somebody quickly reminded me, like, remember how Ticketmaster used to be? Like, back in the day where you had to go to an outlet and camp out there, and the whole wristband system? That was
at least you can camp out in your underwear at home.
That was nuts, and I would argue, like, way less, you had less of a chance than you do now, even though now it's, I still think it's Ticketmaster's evil as hell, and they're in league with the scalpers, but people act like it used to be better. It did not. Like, anybody that ever tried to get tickets in the old Ticketmaster system with like all the going to like Warehouse or Tower, one of those places, knows that was not never. There was never some golden era where it was easy to get tickets to something.
Right.
It's always been difficult.
What if they made Hall H like a day? Like you had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Hall H tickets.
That's true.
You could still try to get the full pass, but some people wouldn't get it because it would sell out. So that would, you know, thin it a little bit.
That's interesting.
The thing that I would try to control I would do some things about the exclusives because that's gotten out of control.
That's pretty nuts too, yeah.
Do you guys have friends like at the last minute asking you to go get stuff for you? Because
I always tell them no.
Yeah.
You obviously don't know how this works.
Yeah, the coworker asked me this past year, and I went on preview night. I went straight down there, but then it's like, oh wow, I didn't know how it worked either. I'm like, oh wait, I have to wait
wristband to get in the line to get a wristband, and then all this other bull crap.
Just to get a ticket so you can enter the lottery maybe get the Bible.
And then there's like, I say that they track everything, and the moment, and it's tied to your badge, and if that shit ends up on eBay. You're done. Game over. No more for you.
Well, apparently, I have to be waiting in line now for a ticket for, you know, it seems like there's a string of lines that you have to wait in. But I just thought, oh, preview night. I walked down there and it was like, I think it was Hasbro or something. And I'm like, hey, there's no line. And then the lady's like, no, this is for something else, Hasbro. You need to, and she pointed the other, and I was like, wait a second. Yeah. There's a huge line and the guy is sending people away. And like Brendan was talking about chaos, there is chaos there. People were like, no, you sent us away, but you just gave, you know, to these people. And I'm just like, really, for like this, you know, a Shockwave toy or whatever? It's cool, but like, I don't want to, especially for somebody else. Like, dude, I spent all my time getting down to Comic-Con.
That whole thing has kind of gotten...
That's nuts.
Like, just out of control.
Yeah.
And so... Like, because I really noticed it, because I've never really been huge on trying to get exclusives. The only thing I've ever tried to get, I got, and it was a Doctor Who lunchbox, and Benson and I got it. I mean, we had to wait in line for a while, but not that bad. But I've never tried to get a Hasbro or Mattel toy or anything like that, because I know it's almost pointless.
That's insane.
And I don't want to waste, that's a huge waste of time for me. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to, if I'm going to wait in line for something, it's definitely not going to be the chance to buy a toy. Like,
well, it's more of a panel or something, right?
Yeah. So that seems insane. So like that, so last year, cause Derek had things that he legitimately wanted to get, and watching him just constantly get hosed at every step. I was like, wow, this is really messed up. Like
yeah, not worth it to me at all.
We were going down our list of we had to exercise connections and find every possible wheeling and dealing and like I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, and I think didn't you mention on one of the podcasts? I think you said that they have a mad rush for it on preview night and like Thursday, and then you just strolled up on Sunday afternoon and
For this particular things, it was crazy. They had this whole crazy system. But then on Sunday you could just walk up and buy any of the things.
Yeah.
So just try that, I guess.
I had already tried to use, I thought I was being all cool because I used a connection, and then he's like, oh well, they're just for sale. I'm like, oh, so I didn't even need to use my inside.
Yeah, so I think that's advice for anybody. Just wait till Sunday, and hopefully you can get it. Otherwise,
but for Mattel and that stuff, you have to. That stuff doesn't.
That goes. Yeah.
Well, I think you have to. It is kind of a gamble because even some of that stuff, there's always certain things. There's like the hot item, and then there's things that people think are going to be big, but then end up not being that big of a demand. It's kind of a gamble if you're trying to play that game. So. Because that's the thing. A lot of people speculate on these things, so that's why it's so crazy. So if that went away, then I think you could actually there would be more chances for people that actually want these things and aren't going to immediately resell them to actually get them. Because what ends up happening is all the people that end up buying these things end up not being the ones that get to buy them. Some asshole that camps out or does whatever and then sells them to the people that want them for like three times as much.
An inflated price,
And that's stupid.
That's pretty lame.
It's what happened with the Mondo posters.
Okay, so I realize this is a totally different subject, but just to get back really quickly to what we talked about earlier, Brian, your comic, we talked about this briefly on the show, but
that's cool.
You actually featured... a little something about Brendo in an issue.
Oh yeah.
Can you tell us about how that came about?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe we'll have Vecchio sanitation shower sanitation service in the next issue. I don't know.
I would love that.
Vecchio, I'm sorry. Yeah, but okay.
Once you get it in your head, you can't stop saying it. I understand.
Yeah, it's stuck. I'm saying it the wrong way. But yeah, we had Vote Brendo for student council, I think, in the second issue. He's Creasy. Where is it? And they have like a little joystick, some sort of like a video game thing, because I know it's like a gaming thing. So yeah, Creasy for student body president. Vote Brendo. Yeah, and it's got a little like PlayStation controller or something on it.
Yeah,
that was cool. Yeah, he'll probably there will be some references to you guys at somewhere on the third issue. I think there might be something on the third issue cover, but there's a whole so you'll see. You guys will see. Hopefully he'll be done with the cover. Ben's working on the cover still right now. It's mainly inked, but the colors, he still has to work on the colors. So hopefully we'll have that at WonderCon. So yeah, it's gonna
be
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well, it was oh my super gosh. Fun to get that and see that in there. So,
well, you guys came by and that was really cool. And that was a fun convention last year. That was really fun. I won't go into details of what.
Oh yeah, we had some
interesting.
There were some interesting events that transpired later on in the evening.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes this year.
But, yeah. Well, hey, it's been great having you on the show. And Phil and I got to take turns in biz, and then we got to wrap it up because I got to get to bed.
Yeah, what time is it?
It's 9:30.
Okay.
So we're cutting it. So I think we're going to have to do like some quick plugs and then wrap it up, Phil, and get to the rest of this next time. Sorry.
Cool.
And then we have a ton of stuff to talk about.
A lot of good stuff, though, but that's okay.
I'm sorry. We cannot go any longer. It's 9:30, Phil.
Come on. You guys should encourage Derek to go on that at night.
Well, okay. How about we each pick?
What?
Yeah. Let's each pick one thing we get to say about something. I just got to say, like, one item.
Okay.
You can say one item.
All right. Well, we'll do that after.
Not like a whole category, even.
After our announcements here. Don't forget to listen to us on Stitcher. Go to RadioBrendo.com, click the Stitcher link, download the app, use the code BrendoMan. Amazon, there's a ton of stuff, so we'll have to save it till next time. We'll do a super Amazon list.
That's okay.
There's so much stuff on here. We really appreciate
you guys for doing that.
Keep clicking the Amazon link. It's awesome. You're helping pay the bills because it costs money to host this podcast. Keep the lights on. Really appreciate it. It's been awesome. Keep that up. Go to Radio Brendo. Click the Amazon banner. And but then we have a new thing. We actually have a print ad for the Benview Network. And it is in a comic called The Shrouded City, written by Nathan Schultz and drawn by Amy Watson. The writer likes to think of The Shrouded City as Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Lethal Weapon, but with more Cthulhu. So it sounds pretty cool. They're going to be at WonderCon April 18th through the 20th. And they'll be selling the second issue of The Shrouded City. And you will find a Benview Network full page ad. Phil, your face is in a comic.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
And they have issues 1 and 2 and a t-shirt on the website. Go to BenviewNetwork.com/comic. To buy those. So that's BenviewNetwork.com/comic. And then real quick, Brian, you're ZombieOutlaw.com?
Yeah, ZombieOutlaw.com. You got Facebook, / ZombieOutlaw comic. And Captain Midnight on Twitter. So,
and you guys got some cool shirts and stuff like that. You got some good swag.
We have some Benview swag shirts for you guys. I won't get into it, but you'll see there.
I can't wait.
All right. Well, also, if you want to create a cool website, maybe you have some cool shirt, some cool new idea, well, you can make that thing and sign up to create your site at DreamHost. Go to DreamHost.com and use the promo code RadioBrendoMan, and you will save $50. Plus, you'll get a free domain registration on top of the one you already get. So that's two domains. Start your web empire.
That is a fantastic deal.
Yes. So, again, RadioBrendo.com. That's also got our Audible link, if you feel like doing that. Phil, you can talk about one thing.
All right, one thing. We got to go to see a bunch of movies over vacation. I won't go into all of them.
Yeah.
But we got to see for our anniversary, we saw two movies. We saw Noah, which was actually really, really good. I liked it a lot. And we saw Veronica Mars.
Yay. It was awesome, right?
And it was amazing. It was so good. We'll talk. We can talk about it more in our next show. But
we're going to have to talk about it more. But it was really good.
Yeah. It was so, so good.
I saw some movies, but what I want to talk about, speaking of Veronica Mars, I read the Veronica Mars book that came out last week.
Oh, really?
And it takes place immediately when the movie stops, and it features, I don't want to spoil it, but a big major character that wasn't in the movie. But a character from Veronica Mars verse.
I think I know who it is, but I won't spoil either.
It's pretty amazing and really good. And they have one more book for sure, and hopefully they'll do well and they'll keep coming out because the books are great. And Rob Thomas and this lady, forgot her name, but they wrote the book. It's really good. And I loved it.
That's awesome.
So you can get that. And if you really, we talked about this on Popsicles, but if you really want to go nuts, so it's kind of surreal, but the audiobook is narrated by Kristen Bell.
Nuh-uh.
And she does the other characters' voices as well. So it's really, that seems kind of strange to me because that's like, basically, that would be her talking to herself. I guess that's what all audiobooks are, but she's Veronica Mars. So it's like Veronica Mars, but also doing the voices of all the other characters. I don't know. I feel like it would make my head explode.
Yeah. That's awesome. Veronica Mars.
So that was exciting. Okay. Real quick, I'm going to be on vacation. I'm leaving on Wednesday for New Orleans. My big WrestleMania trip.
Woo-hoo.
I'm going, as I wrote on my Facebook page, I'm going to 8 wrestling shows in 6 days. It's going to be nuts. I'm also going to the Tabasco Sauce Factory, which is on an island, which is cool. I'm going to go on a swamp. Jerry gave me a link to go on a swamp airboat, like one of those fan boats tours on like the swamp.
Huh.
It's going to be cool.
That's cool.
And I'm going to eat real beignets at Cafe Du Monde, which Jerry, the way she described it, she's like, once you have a beignet at Cafe Du Monde, you will never be able to eat another beignet in another place again because it's just not even going to compare. So I'm really excited about that. And I am also going to go visit Nicolas Cage's grave that he has purchased for himself because that's awesome. And I also on behalf of Josh, you know,
you got to,
I owe it to Josh to pay tribute. And then I'll be gone. So there's going to be no episode next week. And then we will keep posted for the next episode after that.
Yes.
Because, we got that one, and then the next week after that will be the WonderCon MegaCast.
Woo-hoo!
Super exciting, and everybody's going to be there. I think we got everybody. We got the full, I think
full
even,
MegaCast.
Well, I don't know about Andrew. I think Andrew might be there, but we got Derek, Benson, me, you. I think Josh is coming. Hopefully we can wrangle Gates away. Gates is all Joe Cool School now, but...
It'll be a pretty good cast. I'm excited.
So, yeah, it'll be fun. So WonderCon, go to WonderCon, and if you're at WonderCon, be sure to stop by the Zombie Outlaw booth, and we will have our Radio Brendo Man and Brack stickers.
Yep, definitely.
And I'm gonna be on Topher's full time creative work on a part time schedule. That's gonna be on Sunday.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
So I'm going to be on that. I think that's it, Phil.
All right. That's good.
Well, it's good to have you back, Phil. Thank you, Brian, for having.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show, dude.
Coming on the show. And anything else, Phil? Anything I'm forgetting?
That's good for now. There's a lot. We'll have to catch up more.
We have a lot of catch-up stuff. We're gonna have to.
We'll have like a 5-hour show the next one.
I've also read a bunch of books.
Yeah, I got so many movies and all vacation stories.
Oh my gosh, dude,
I know we got a lot to catch up on. So
it's funny. Do you? Is it like a rule that you watch The Thorough on all your vacations?
I've never seen it all the way before.
I watched The Thorough with you on the cruise, and I feel like I've watched it another time on vacation with you. But I know we watched it on the cruise.
I've never finished it before. But I never finished it.
Okay.
I finally got to finish it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, radiobrendo.com. You can contact us there. Send in your emails, so we'll have emails. And at Brendoman on Twitter, you can also send tweets to Phil through there if you want. Tell him to post the comic, because I thought you had said you had more than one comic over your vacation. That never materialized.
Well, I didn't get a chance to post them beforehand, but I've got more lined up now, so it's good.
What the heck?
It was a last, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to be gone, so you get that done, Phil.
I got a week. We got a week off from the show, so I'll have plenty of time.
You do that while I have a week off. You've already had a week off.
No, but now, but my vacation is not a week off. That's like busy. I got stuff to do.
Oh my gosh. So then you do the stuff while I'm on vacation.
Yeah, see, it's perfect.
But you just said you're not going to do that.
No, I'm going to, because we have all this time off now.
All right, you better.
Okay, good. I will.
So RadioBrendo.com, PopVoxMusic.com, go to BrackComics.com. Notice that the comic is not new, and send an email to Phil. Phil at BrackComics.com.
That's right.
And that's going to be it. So for Radio Brendoman, I'm Brendan Creasy.
And I'm Phil Vecchio.
Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you. just leave it alone. It drags us all around. It drags us all around. It drags us all around. Just let it go.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.